My name is Rob Snyder. I'm the Vice President of Programs at the United States Institute of Health. Those of you who are familiar with the Allen Institute, our work is primarily to partner with Allen and both coastal communities along the coast of Maine, so they remain vital places to live, work, and educate. You know, in capacity as an organization, we've, I think, been fairly committed to two major strategies to achieve that mission over the last 26 years. Essentially, our publication strategy, our mapping strategy, are two pieces of that. And the major premise is that if you provide good information, that you will allow people to generate the solutions that they need for themselves in their communities. And I think that's really important when you start to think about some of the policy drivers that are out there that are facing island communities and remote coastal communities right now. We're talking today about ocean energy, but I know there are so many more that everyone's dealing with. The two policy drivers that have gotten our organization interested in this issue called marine spatial planning, certainly the ocean energy issue, and also the fact that the current administration has essentially is going to be funding, and I don't want to get this wrong. Kathleen Layton is in the room. She actually represents our state and is very fluent in marine spatial planning. She represents us on the Northeast Regional Ocean Council. So I'll just say that. But the current administration has asked that the United States consider marine spatial planning in each of the regions, and there is a significant amount of funding being allocated to develop this kind of ocean planning. At the same time, Thursday, the state released LD 1810. Those of you who will want to read it that have showed up here today, it is the legislation that comes out of the Ocean Energy Task Force and basically spells out the permitting processes, just the entire regulatory environment that's going to determine how ocean energy is placed in state waters. Commercial scale ocean energy. There's important opportunities there for people to comment, and I would encourage all of you, if you don't know how to find it, just Google LD, and within 2.9 seconds you'll get a screen where you just type in 1810 and you can read. It's a very complicated piece of legislation. We ourselves are trying to sort out exactly what it means to our organization and to the communities that we work with. So we have these two policy drivers out there, and at the same time, I've been having discussions over the last couple of years with different folks along the coast, some of whom are in the room, just saying, okay, if the state's this serious about ocean energy siting, how do we amplify the voices of fishing communities in this process? What information is necessary in order to provide that voice? And so we've been thinking quite a bit about the different kinds of mapping we've been involved in terrestrial settings on land on the islands in terms of comprehensive planning, and thinking about kind of how do we transfer that to the ocean. And I'm inspired by two particular people that are in the room today, Jim Atchison, who's over here, and Madeline Hall Arbor, who worked with a colleague of mine, Kevin St. Martin at Rutgers, to develop some different ways to get us thinking about how uses of the ocean are tied to specific communities. And Jim, what you have up here right now, I'll just explain it, and it's actually the font. It's not that I don't want people to contact me. That wasn't the intent of using these fonts. I'll get to that in a minute, though. What we did here was we took Jim's mapping work that he did in the Skungus Bay in early 1970s, digitized the boundaries that he found for communities at that time, and then loaded those areas with trap tag information from the DMR, which really, and the purpose we did this was not so that we could tell you anything about what's happening out there right now. We did it because we're trying to figure out how do you represent fishing reliance on particular areas of the ocean. What we learned here is that there are a whole lot of licenses fishing in particular aspects of the Skungus Bay. That license data isn't perfect, it would need to be cleaned up, but we wanted to have something that we could sit down with a group of fishermen and say, okay, how do we start talking to you about your fishing community out on the ocean? How do you describe that community? What are you comfortable with sharing? What are you not comfortable with sharing? You know, whenever you start putting lines on a map, they can be used in for you or against you, and we all, I think, are very familiar with that. We're concerned that marine spatial planning and providing communities the opportunity to participate might be merely done through drawing lines around where communities of fishermen work, but it's more complicated than that because those lines could be used to say, well, this is where you fish today and this is where you will therefore always fish, and we don't want to do that to somebody. So what we want to try to do here is, I guess what we're involved in, we have a grant right now from Sea Grant that is called Drawing Communities Together, what we're also calling internally Mapping Maine's Working Waters. And the purpose of this grant is to spend the next 6 months working with different groups of fishermen to try to sort out exactly how you do tell this story of fishing community reliance on the water, primarily starting in the lobster fishery. There's been some great work done in the groundfish fishery already. And to try to provide a point of reference for communities when they are asked to engage in whether it's ocean energy siting or marine spatial planning. There are really a couple of different things that we hope to achieve. We certainly want to provide a level of data about how community uses of the ocean exist where no data currently exists. We wanted to figure out how do you have a data sharing agreement with the fishing community. It's one thing on land to go to the municipality and say, okay, here's a representation of how your working waterfront looks. And the Island Institute, we could gather that information, but we're not going to be giving anybody permission to. We're going to send them to the selectmen to say, okay, if you want this information, go ask the selectmen and then we'll release it. Well, what do you do in the case of mapping a community fishing territory? One way you can work around this issue is to say, well, how are we going to aggregate the data so that fishermen are protected? We are interested in also gathering the stories that are part of what makes fishing community territories meaningful. So to the extent that it's reasonable, we are interested in place names as a way of understanding how particular places are have been held kind of culturally meaningful in fishing communities over time. So there's a range of place names that we know blanket because many of which you couldn't possibly put on a map for a public audience, but that are really important to showing an attachment to place. We think that it's really important to understand how the idea of community is actually practiced in these territories. So I think the most iconic kind of image that everybody's aware of is Monhegan Trapped. That's a great example of how a community practices, how communities actually live in a fishing territory. There are lots of ways that, radios and communications about emergencies are all used. Different channels are used for communication. All of this kind of reinforces the sense that these communities exist beyond. And I think that's important because otherwise a lot of policy decisions and a lot of processes where fishermen get to participate force people to participate as individuals. Yet so many of our, we also all know in this room that the way the coast of Maine actually works on the water is quite different. And then the final piece that I'd like to understand is, as a result of participating in a discussion about your community, and this really ties back to Madeline's work, what sorts of innovative ideas come out of those discussions? I think some people are aware that work that was done with Madeline and Kevin actually was part of the thinking around creating Port Clyde Fresh Catch and Mid-Coast Fishermen's Association. And I think, when I've had discussions with fishermen, I know Addison's made some comments. Are there areas of the ocean? I know there are areas of the ocean that people have come up to me and said, well, we'd like to see this area. If we're able to put some floating turbines in this deep water area, it might be a great place to protect spawning grounds, and it might help us rebuild our nearshore stocks faster. Well, that's a pretty far-sighted and creative thought. I mean, how do we kind of build people's awareness that there are leaders in the fishing industry thinking this way and give those people the data they need to start to represent themselves in these debates. I think the other key piece to it, and I'll wrap up, is that without this data, it's really hard to have any sort of standing in these discussions other than by getting up to the microphone and telling your individual story. We think that by having the data, we'll be able to provide the voice that I think is critical to making these processes successful for all the different people involved. So I'll just stop there and happy to take questions. There's going to be a handout that I'll leave at the back of the room that explains the project further.
Rob mentioned a couple times that 911 calls are one of the things that obviously we're going to have to see.